This is the Tanya Free and Friends Talk Show, your destination for social and political straight talk, on air, online, and on point. Get ready to join the conversation with your host, Ms. Tanya Free.
Today is Wednesday, September the 30th. Welcome to the Tanya Free and Friends Talk Show. I am Tanya Free, joined by my wonderful friends, former Richmond City Councilman Marty Jewell. How are you, friend?
I'm fine, thank you.
Well,
good
thank
to be
you.
Here.
Well, thank you for being here. And also with us is Dr. Joseph Robinson. How are you, friend?
I'm great. Good to be here.
Well, thank you so much. And with us also, too, is Wendell Saul. How are you?
Thanks for having me, Tanya.
Well, thank you for being here. And also at with us is seated at the social media desk, and our roving correspondent is Antoinette Baylor. How are you?
I'm doing fine this evening.
Good. And also behind the scenes is Marcus Evans and Mr. Free. Thank you all for being here today. And I want to welcome our wonderful listeners to join the conversation. Phone lines are open, 844-321-1010. Our toll-free number, 844-321-1010. Or you can text us at 63975. And if you want to listen to us live on your phone, you can dial 712-832-2784. Thank all of our listening friends at AM FM 247 Network. Let's get started. I want to talk about a story that hasn't made mainstream media, but I think it's worth talking about. An 18-year-old African-American young man died in the custody, in police custody, when he was approached by a security officer who suspected that he was shoplifting. And when the young man was approached, he fled the store and was hiding in the grass, and police officer went after him, and he surrendered. Let me say this again. He surrendered to police officers, and when he did that, he complained that he couldn't breathe. And they called the EMTs, and they checked him out and cleared him that he was okay. And he still complained that he couldn't breathe, and another ambulance came to the scene. And at that time, his health had deteriorated, and he got worse. And while they were trying to revive him, he died. Now, this beginning to sound like a broken record, because we had Eric Garner and we had Freddie Gray, all who suffered some sort of medical issue while in police custody. Marty, tell me, what is going on here, and what do you think we need to do to prevent these type? I mean, seriously, what's going on that, when you're in police custody, opposed to getting a bullet in the back, we're dying now before we even get to jail?
What's going on is a lot of shiggity. Let's get that out the way right now. We don't know what happened to that young man between what they did to him and the reports that we get
right.
Immediate, number one. Number two, don't leave out this young lady up in Fairfax County Jail.
Okay.
Just this Sunday, the NAACP branch in Fairfax, held a rally, a pretty successful rally, in which this young lady was in jail naked and obviously going through mental health difficulties.
Right.
They tased her four times when all the experts tell you absolutely no more than three.
Right.
And she died. And so this is happening all over the place. We had three people to die in our Richmond City Jail.
Mm-hmm.
And so you get our folks in
custody. Sandra Bland, right.
Get our folks in custody where nobody can see what you're doing, and they do anything they want to do. And they lie like you would not believe.
Right.
And wind up getting away with it over and over again. But beyond that, we are under wholesale attack.
Right,
all
but the thing
over.
Is, it's a shame that we are allowing this to happen and we are not doing anything about it. That's the issue.
Wendell? Our legacy organizations have gone to sleep. They're beginning to wake up. Like the Crusade for Voters, like the NAACP, like the Urban League.
But I think been the Black Lives Matter seem to me to be taking
Black
a
Lives
more
Matter.
Aggressive
yes.
approach.
And there are other grassroots groups coming out of the ground over the last months.
Right.
And the Black Lives Matter thing is being attacked right now because they are taking up the mantle that other organizations had not been doing. And they're being attacked
True.
Right now.
They're being attacked because they're black and opening their mouth.
But we're still, exactly. But we are still dying in numbers. That's and I mean, I would think that with the number of lives that we have lost, you know, in the past. I mean, I can't even go back long and far enough because you know, for several months, I would start the show with saying we give our condolences. And let me back up. I should have said at the beginning we give our condolences to Terrell Day's family and his loss.
Yes.
You know, Wendell, you want to share your thoughts?
This is a story that I hear very little about, you know, through the media. This is the most I've heard it being talked about since I originally saw it. This is an issue that's, you know, been brought to the forefront and a lot of variations, a lot of variables going on, you know, with each individual situation. So I think there are legitimate organizations out there that are, you know, looking into it, trying to see, you know, what is the actual issue, what is the actual problem. And I want to hear more from the organization that Obama started back in 2014 on 21st century policing, and they have been really, really quiet since the chief of that has come out and said, you know, in 2013, you know, over with the million arrests that were made, less than 1% ended in, you know, fatality. And I haven't heard, you know, any more from that, you know, that task force. And I would like to hear more, you know, concerning that.
Well, I think this need to be a local and state issue first, bringing it to, you know, the national forefront. And until we as a people start to make some noise, you can't expect any national attention to be you know, given to it. Let's go to the phones. Oh, I thought we had a call. Okay.
Well, you can't expect the federal government to handle things that's going on, a lot of things that's going on in our local areas, because the things that need to be taken care of in our local areas should be handled by the local governments and the state government.
Right.
And so the thing is, a lot of things that's happening is because of the things that the police or the things organizations are not being dealt with the local and state and local governments. So what happens is people are dying, and he said out of 1 million people, less than 1%. But less than 1% of out of a million people, that's still too many people.
Right.
Well you're gonna have that regardless.
Even if you're gonna have it, it still doesn't make it right. Okay? It doesn't make what happened right. I think that these things need to be checked into, and we should not depend on the federal government to actually
that's what your local agency they do. If the local agency feel that they're not getting what they need to get out of it, then they push it up to the federal level.
But what happens when they're crooked?
That's a good point.
But that's the system, and that's the thing that we all are trying to take care of.
Get away with the mentality of that's being the system. We need to get away from that mentality.
Yeah, we've gotten away from that a long time ago.
Yeah, that's
criminal justice reform has been something that's been talked about for at least 15 years, with really no progress. And I know when Obama came into office and came into power, there was a whole lot of talk about, a lot of things in the federal system is going to get changed.
Well, let me say this, Wendell. Stop trying to put this on President Obama.
I'm not trying to put it on nobody.
Well, that's the way it's coming across.
Why is it coming across that way when I say they push it to the federal level?
Because your response is always President Obama. Now, let's deal with the reality
I said the last 15 years.
We as a people need to address this issue
on the state
and local.
That's what I said.
On a local level.
That's what I said.
Let me offer this.
That's what I said.
We, in this Richmond city, we've got blacks head of everything. I ain't going to say in charge of everything, but head of everything.
Come on.
With a black mayor, a black city council president, a black commonwealth attorney, black sheriff, black chief of police, black school board chair, black superintendent, everything.
Come on.
But wait. Okay. But nothing changes.
And that's a good point. Whether it's Richmond or wherever, what is it that since you're going there, what is it that when we are in charge we get nothing done? Almost be honest with you, seem like things get worse.
Because I'm afraid we get lulled to sleep, believing that with black folk in charge things get better on their own. Listen, we had never gotten anything as black folk in America that we didn't fight for. I don't care who is in charge. And when you go to sleep and you let your civic fabric die as it is died in this town, where...
Let's not say Richmond. Let's just... Because our audience is beyond Virginia. Anywhere.
I'm just talking about Richmond.
Okay, but anywhere.
I'm simply saying it's the same problem all over the country. We get a black president, and we think maybe things are going to get better, and we go to sleep. And our civic organizations have been lulled to sleep, and they are totally of no effect.
But the thing is, why are we putting this before we go too far, why are we trying to put everything on the president?
Because
the president can't say
nobody's doing that.
The premise of this conversation, why this happening to black people. So when black people say if somebody black was in charge, then this wouldn't happen. We just pointing out the fact that, as he's saying, and just like you said, it seemed like it's happened worse when we're in charge. Well, who is we? You talking about the black community. You talking about black leadership. But nobody wants to talk about that, because then you say, well, you blaming somebody. Well, it's
so you were blaming the way you keep going, you were coming across. You were talking about the president.
I said,
like,
when
he was supposed to come and save the day.
I said that because when he became president, folks said that the criminal justice system was going to get fixed.
Now you
want to ignore that. Okay. Like nobody said that.
But what Marty, what you were saying, you weren't blaming the president. You were saying that people, when we are in charge,
intuitively, we relax.
Right.
When we need to be fighting.
Right.
And especially helping now, that black leadership forge ahead with some kind of an agenda.
Right.
We don't even know what our agenda is in this town.
And because of that, the issues that we're talking about with regards to inequality, the justice system will not get better, because if we can't step up to the plate and do what we're supposed to do when we're in charge, how can we expect anybody else to step up to the plate and help us?
I hold to the fact that in politics you gotta make them do your bidding, and you meaning organized black folk and white folk that are in common cause, we come together and we demand. Frederick Douglass said it best, nothing's achieved without a demand.
We don't demand anything.
Well, when we're in charge, we still don't. You don't need to demand. You just you got the authority.
They're just as comfortable with their paychecks as the white folks
they
in charge.
And if we don't make them do, they don't do.
They
are elected officials, and they need to be held accountable.
Right.
For the things that the position requires them to do. And the thing is, they're not being held accountable. And you know what? And I agree with Mr. Jewell. We have become complacent, and we sit back and we expect for other people to do the things that we need done.
Do for ourselves.
We expect for people in leadership to do it for us, and then we just sit back and hope that it trickles down to us.
And what's worse, Doc, is that when it doesn't get better, we get cynical.
Yeah.
Now it really accelerates.
Uh-huh.
The problem really gets worse.
And got a nerve. And on top of all of that, then
hopeless.
We start playing the blame game.
Yes.
We start throwing the blame out. And see, that's what we were talking about.
I don't want to take this too far, blaming the victim.
When we're doing the blame game, we can't bypass local and state and take it to federal.
Okay.
And that's been the problem.
And if that's the case, then we need to recognize that Black Lives Matter. We need to actually exercise and reinforce that we do matter, because like you were saying, if we're in charge and we have the authority, then we need to respect ourselves as being African American, that we matter.
I'm of the mindset that no matter who you are or what line you're coming across, nobody is going to jump on the hate bandwagon. Nobody's going to jump on the us against them bandwagon. Nobody's going to jump on the, come do for me, come help me, and don't help them or don't help that cause or this cause like that. Nobody in power, nobody in leadership want to espouse to that agenda at all. So when that's all that they're hearing, and things aren't getting changed. And then you sit back and wonder, well, why is nothing happening? Because nobody is going to put their necks on the line for a hate agenda and a us against them agenda. Nobody's going to do it.
Who's suggesting that? Where you get that from?
Yeah, I want to know too.
Okay, let's just, because Black Lives Matter was brought up. The Black Lives Matter, even Democrats, the political power, they came out and said, we want to support them. And then the Black Lives Matter said, no, we don't want your support. It was a platform that the DNC wanted to do with the Black Lives Matter a part of it.
You know why?
And the Black Lives Matter said that they didn't want to be a part of it.
You know why? Because Black Lives Didn't Matter did not want this to become a political forum. Because what's happening is, because of this presidential year coming up, that Black Lives Matter has become a political forum. And what they're doing is they'll make it a forum to get the attention to themselves. They really don't even care about Black Lives Matter, because if Black Lives Matter, If it matters now, it should have mattered years ago. It has never mattered. So the thing about it is, they want to make it matter now so they can have a political form where they can use it as a
mobilization tool to get Black folks to come out.
They're
just appealing to what they need to do in order to get their vote. In other words, it still doesn't matter. But go back to a point that you said, Marty. If it doesn't matter to us, how can we expect someone else? I mean, that's the bottom line. And honestly, it's no need in talking about Black Lives Matter until we learn to respect ourselves, until we learn to realize that we do matter to each other. And when you have power and authority to make a change, but you're afraid to or won't because it works for you and just you and your benefit and not to other people, that's a problem. Let's go to our praise break, sponsored by Freedom Marketing.
who will wipe your tears away. And if your heart is broken, just lift your hands and say, oh, I know that I can make it.
I know that I can stay.
I know that I can stand.
No matter what comes my way.
No matter what may come my way.
Jesus, my life. Let's sing it together.
Listen. You don't have to worry.
And don't you be afraid.
And don't you be afraid.
Joy cometh in the morning.
Joy comes in the morning.
Troubles, they don't last always.
Troubles, they don't last always.
Ah, for there's a friend named Jesus.
For there's a friend named Jesus.
Who will wipe every tear.
Who will wipe your tears away.
And if your heart is broken,
and if your heart is broken,
just lift those hands and
say, just lift your hands.
Come on, sing it with me. I know I can.
Oh, I know that I can.
Bless your name, Jesus. I know.
I know that I can stand.
No matter what may come my way.
No matter what may come my way.
My life.
What is New Orleans Talk Network? It's today's hottest topics with an added flair. You. Get ready, because the conversation will be hot. And better yet, mobile. Download the New Orleans Talk Network app, available on Android, iPhone, iPad. And you can listen to us on the web at www.neworleanstalknetwork.com. Write down our talk line at 504-341-TALK. That's 504-341-8255. Interactive and worldwide. That's what we are. Join in on the real conversation and tell a friend about the New Orleans Talk Network.
Hey, this is Chocolate Chip again, and small behavioral health practices are working harder than ever. It's time for a new perspective. Healthcare commercial billing specialists can help you manage your practice, file your claims, and get you paid in record time. The first step is always the hardest. With HCBS Billing, we make it easy and simple for you to start. Thousands of providers are already getting paid on time. It's time you get paid, too. Sign up today at hcbsbilling.com or call us at 866-647-6267. That's 866-647-6267.
Reclaiming the Love, WNXP
95.5 FM,
Greenville's People Powered Radio. Reclaiming the Love.
I'm gonna make a change for once in my life. Gonna feel real good. Gonna make a difference. Gonna make it right. As I turn up the collar on my favorite winter coat, this wind is blowing my mind. I see the kids in the street without enough to eat. Who am I to be blind, pretending not to see them? Disregard a broken bottle top and a one-man soul. They follow each other on the wind, you know, 'cause they got nowhere to go. That's why I know what you got to know. I'm starting with the man in the mirror. I'm asking him to change his way.
Join the conversation. Phone lines are open right now. Give Tanya a call at 804-321-1010 in Central Virginia and 844-321-1010 toll free coast to coast. That's toll free,
844-321-1010.
We're going to go straight to the phones. Our good friend, Real Brothers on the phone. How are you, friend?
Oh, I'm doing real good. Thank you for having me on the show.
Good,
I missed you guys.
Good to hear from you.
All right. Well, I think you could remember the last time that we did talk, or maybe it was months before the last time we talked, I said that there is a threshold. Mm-hmm. They are going to kill enough people that even the conservative blacks are going to start to wonder if what we've been saying for the last 10 years is true. And that is, when white people go to war with people, their idea of war is that you kill every single one of those people. So we are talking about black genocide. And until we accept that, they are going to keep killing people and making excuses and say he reached for the gun and say that he looked like the president's son. They're going to keep doing it. So until we realize what white society is trying to do because they believe they're superior, we can't solve the problem. They're going to put you on TV, but they want to ultimately exterminate
real brother, are you talking about police or are you talking about abortion?
Abortions are down. Black abortions are down 80% since Obama's election. Overall, abortions are down to 1973 levels when Roe v. Wade was made law of course, the land.
We have health care now.
Women have prenatal care. Children can stay on their parents' health care until they're 26.
That don't have nothing to do with the abortion.
What we have to take care of are white racists who want to exterminate the entire black race.
I'd like to get in here on that, Marty, because that's where I've been since the last time I was on this show. That we don't seem to understand that black folk in America are under wholesale attack by Republicans on all fronts.
Everything.
On voter redistricting and restriction, on voter suppression, on affirmative action, on criminal justice, where you are going to get a higher penalty than white folks if they get convicted at all. You're under wholesale attack in a procurement where in the state of Virginia, blacks get barely over 0.5% of $19 billion.
Talking about right here in Richmond, you was on council.
I said in Virginia. Virginia.
Yeah, you was on council when that happened too.
We are basically boycotted at a 99.32% effectiveness.
Exactly.
Well, let me say this, y'all. That sounds
in schools
wonderful.
And the whole night. We're under attack.
I understand what you're saying, but I'm back to before we went to the break. How are we going to change things if we don't do something about it? And like you said, Marty, you brought up the point, when we're in charge, we still do not step up to the plate. So we're in this vicious circle or in this attack that it could be, you know, any one of us, not even, you know, before we even get to jail, you know, we lose our lives.
In the womb.
We're not talking about talking points with abortion and all that.
That's what Republicans want to talk about, opposed to talking about because I'm in a pro-life fight.
You want to change the subject. No, he said wholesale attack on black issues that are affecting us. The pro-life movement is not political. No, that's not the same thing. We're talking about black lives matter or us losing our lives. That's right. That is black lives matter. Because 90% of the Republican talking points is in the black communities of color.
I do not want to hear Republican talking points today. Real brother, go ahead.
Yeah, he keeps forgetting that black abortions are down 80%.
Of course, it's down.
Abortions are down.
The last 10 years, it's been going down.
White people have killed 200 million blacks since slavery. Our population has been reduced to 41 million in North America. There are 1.3 billion black people in Africa. So their plan is very simple: kill all of us. And until we start prosecuting them for killing people. So why do you still support Margaret Sanger and Planned Parenthood?
Because Margaret Sanger said that.
Are you totally lost here today? We're talking about the living, and you want to talk about the unborn.
That's what I'm talking about. We're talking about black genocide, black lives being lost. That's right.
Just by being in the custody of officers, just by being pulled over.
Black lives in the womb is being lost just as much.
Let Tanya moderate this show. You're not moderating.
No, he's just doing talking points.
That's not talking points.
Just
want
to distract from the real issue.
We talking about black lives. That's what we're talking about. And genocide. That's what we're talking about.
Dr. Robinson, go ahead. You know what I love? You don't even have to be intelligent to understand that when you come up with a conversation that has something to do with understanding motives and understanding validity, when you get to a point where you strike a nerve, then you have people who come in and want to change the conversation to something that has nothing to do with the factual conversation that's going on.
The real issues.
And the real issue.
That's genocide.
And we're not talking about abortion. We was
but
not
that's
talking,
genocide all the same.
But let me talk. Shut up and I let you talk as much as you want. You're bringing up something that has nothing to do with the situation at hand. Black Lives Matter is not talking about born or unborn babies. And so you would know there are more white abortions than babies aborted than there are black. And public Planned Parenthood has nothing to do with what color of people are or based on that. We're talking about the system based on what's happening in our jails, in our community, dealing with lives, period, and black lives. And so if black lives matter, what's important is how are we, and the question is, and you're diverting away from the question, what are we going to do in our communities to fix this situation? We're not talking about going to some clinic. We're talking about what we're going to do in our community to fix this situation, dealing with the lives that are being lost when they're in custody of our police, and when they're in custody of our government, and everything that's going on. What are we going to do? Brother Marty said it. What are we going to do locally?
Right.
Let me
respond to that.
Don't take this thing to a federal level.
I'm not going to federal level. I'm about to respond to what you're saying.
We're talking about how we're going to fix us being able to survive without being targeted by officers. End of story. Yeah, real brother, go ahead.
Yeah, I believe that what we can do locally is demand federal prosecution. See, everybody thinks it's radical that we don't have racists on a jury when somebody, a racist, is on trial for killing somebody black. That's not radical. You wouldn't have a trial of a whole bunch of new Black Panthers if the charge was against the new Black Panther. So why do we have a bunch of racists on the George Zimmerman jury or on the Mike Brown federal grand jury? You guys at the local level have to demand that Angela Corey and that these racists and these Republicans are not the ones that are prosecuting these cases. How hard is that? If you want to protest something, protest that.
That's
okay,
right.
Okay,
that's
brother. Right. Tell everybody, listen to your show. Thank you for your comments.
Yes, we're going to get started back with live shows again in October. All right, it's the Real Brother Radio Show on realbrotherradionetwork.com. It's the alternative to the conservatives.
All righty. Thank you, friend. We appreciate it. Good to hear from you.
I appreciate it. Thank you so much.
Yeah. All right. We got Reggie. Hi, Reggie. How are you?
And blessing tying into your crew there. You know, first of all, I don't know if you saw the piece on Channel 6 where a young man from the Urban League, he was working with the Attorney General. They did a piece about it, and this does go with Black Lives Matter, mm-hmm. because now they're having classes, I think, in Petersburg, Richmond, and Henrico,
mm-hmm.
where they're training police officers that when you see a young man with a hoodie on their pants down, to not assume the worst.
Okay,
and
good.
Again, I want to thank President Clinton at the NAACP event in Philly, where he apologized for his role in the criminalization, because, see, again, we got a lot of Negroes that look at Europeans as being the master. But yet, when it comes to procurement, or when it comes to, again, trying to have an evil footing, all of a sudden those dollars come out. And I have to say, in all due respect, when it came to that bike race, and again, this is economic, a lot of people, just like the Washington football team, got lied to as far as the vendors.
Yes.
That money could have came back into our community and could uplift us. And again, it's a lot of black faces I see they're in charge. But yeah, when the money comes tripping down, we don't get it.
That's right.
There you go.
So can somebody help a brother out? Because like I said, a lot of us serve our masters very well. I don't understand what the problem is.
And exactly what we're talking about, Reggie. You're right. You're absolutely right.
Mm-hmm. I went before council 2 days ago and said essentially the same thing, that we got a part-time mayor making full-time salary.
Yeah.
Who loves shiny things but can't take care of the basics.
Exactly.
Our city is being run into a ditch. It's all of our fault because nobody's calling this man out.
Keep it from a local.
That's
overall. When we are in charge, whatever it is, wherever you are, what is it? Like you said, Reggie, you know, we still act like we're still slaves. Until we rise above that and learn how to work together to make our own situation better, how can we expect anyone else to? Reggie, tell everybody we can listen to your show.
Real quick, Saturday from 11:45 to 1, I'm Marty McGrath, Georgia Virginia Panthers, number 2 ranked in the HBCUs. And shout out to my main man, Latrell Scott, for taking care of Hampton last week, and he's going to take care of the real HU this week at their homecoming.
All right. Wonderful. Thank you, friend. We appreciate your comments.
Yes, ma'am. Take care.
Yeah, but that's a real concern for me, being that if we do not address our issues, how can we expect anyone else to? And that's what I'm, you know, really, really disheartened about.
And that's been the biggest fight, because the thing is, we want people in office that will look at the things that's going on and decide in their mind, okay, let's work on trying to fix some of this stuff. But like Mr. Jewell said, once they get in office, they just sit back and kick their heels back. Right. And see, this is not something that's just started happening.
Right, it's not.
It's been happening a long time, over and over again. And you know what? It has to get to a point to, because I don't even live in the city. I live in Henrico County, but I had to come downtown to take my, you know, my wife to work.
Mm-hmm.
And I spent, I left home at 4:30 and got home at 7:20.
Great day.
Ooh, gracious.
And I live 7 minutes from downtown.
Mm.
I live 7 minutes from downtown. She gets off at 5. I picked her up at 6:15 from work at the Times, Richmond Times Dispatch. I drove around for an hour and a half.
Wow.
And then I drove around for another hour just to get back home, and I'm 7 minutes away. But where has the city profited from this? It had to start with leadership. It had to start somewhere. Yes, bring these things into the city, but did these things, where did the city, where did any of us get anything from it?
Yeah.
But to go back to that. If it's happening with that situation, what's happening with the things that really mean the most to us here in the city? You know, about lives, people's lives, situations and circumstances, they're gone by the wayside.
Let me offer the fact that we've got NAACP that needs new members. You can join or create.
Yeah, you're right.
No. You can create a brand new organization all you want. That's all right. But politicians only listen to two voices.
Yes.
Those that carry a lot of money.
Yes.
And those that carry a lot of votes.
Yes.
Groups that carry a lot of votes. Other than that, they don't listen to us. And so they do what they think is best.
That's true.
And we don't demand anything of them. And things go askew. And then we mad because it's not coming our way.
That's true.
Well, you never told anybody what you want.
Well, let's take a break and hold on to that thought.
Thank you. Are you searching for the best in online black radio? Then go to blacktalkradionetwork.com, helping you filter through the noise. Real talk, black talk.
If you or someone you love suffers from drug addiction, now is the time to utilize your private health insurance PPO plan. If eligible, receive up to $30,000 or more in substance abuse benefits with low or no out-of-pocket cost. We are the National Treatment Network, the premier drug and alcohol treatment referral service operating 24/7. We help connect you with facilities nationwide that accepts PPO private health insurance for substance abuse. If you have PPO substance abuse coverage and you need immediate admittance to a medical detox or residential rehab treatment center, call us now. Call our live referral helpline today. The call is free. This program is not available to Medicare or Medicaid customers. Call 800-961-2730. 800-961-2730. 800-961-2730. 800-961-2730.
Hey there, Big John Trimble here. Thanks to Tanya for freeing up the time to allow me to talk about the Big John Trimble Show. Heard Monday through Friday mornings, 6 to 9, right here on WCLM Radio. Yes, sir, after 57 years, I'm still on the radio and 24/7 on BigJohnTrimble.com. It all originates from our backyard studio over here in Verona. We play a wide variety of requested music from Fats Domino, Chuck Berry, and Donna Washington to George Jones, George Strait, and Loretta Lynn, along with the trivia contest and over-the-fence chats with our listeners from across the Richmond area, across the USA, and sometimes foreign countries. The Big John Trimble Show. It's the most fun you'll ever have with your clothes on.
I really believe President Obama made a secret deal with Speaker Boehner where he'd pass every piece of legislation the president proposed, and then he'd run to Fox News and swear up and down that he'd block the budgets, healthcare laws, and Libya resolutions. Hell no, you won't! How's that? Yeah, that was good.
It's the Real Brother Radio Show.
Weeknights, 6 p.m. Eastern on RealBrotherRadioNetwork.com. Brought to you by Quick Mart Mini Markets, bringing convenience back to the convenience store.
Conversation. Phone lines are open right now. Give Tanya a call at 804-321-1010 in Central Virginia and 844-321-1010 toll free coast to coast. That's toll free 844-321-1010.
Of Wendell's friends to give us a call. He asked that I give the number 804-321-1010, or if you're outside the area, 844-321-1010, because I'm not following Wendell today. We text all the time and have a wonderful conversation. I don't know what it is today that we're not getting along too well today, Wendell. Okay, just want you to know. Lester says all lives matter. Okay, that's true, but we're talking about black lives today. Gary from L.A., please give us a call back. We lost you somewhere along the line. And Earl on line two. Hi, friend. How are you?
I'm doing just great. Just great.
Good.
I'm appreciative of how the conversation is evolving, because I've been told that I've been flagged as an angry black man. I hear a lot of angry black folks over there that's tired of the same old same on it. I'm feeling good about that company that's coming here with me. And I think that y'all done hit it. And see, Marty, you know, it's whether anybody pick up on this or not, Marty tells you how it operates. Now, the city auditor done told us, does Black Lives Matter? No, it don't. The city auditor stated that the $2 billion that's fraudulently possibly going through the city, nobody said anything, right. Black leaders or anything,
preach,
black
man.
Caucus or anything. So my point is this. We keep saying, how do we fix it? The reason why I went to the city auditor is because he's telling us what our problem is. The internal control structure of the local governing body is our problem. No poor documentation, no implementation. So these are the things that will be consistent regardless of who the mayor is. You see, mm-hmm. Everybody wants to keep saying the mayor. I'm with you on that, but it's not just the mayor. City council is our biggest problem.
That's right.
Because of their lack of understanding of the authority that they have, and then the lack of will to force and enforce what city council before them has established is the internal control structure procedures. That's where our problem is. No more than that. But
yeah,
everybody wants
I
to
agree.
Point the mayor this and the mayor that, but it's the procedures that's not being enforced by the agencies. People push back on, oh, it's not the what is consistent through these last 20, 30, 40, 50 years? The same implementations, or should we say lack of, mm-hmm. the 98% white form that Brother Monty just spoke of again, 98%. And 2% for a group of 5 minority-based folks, and as Marty stated, African-Americans were only getting 0.58% in 2013, and nobody's mad.
Right, right.
So how do we get it? We need to strategically get 9 folks that understand what the internal control structure and enforcement of that to be city councils, and matter of fact, throughout this whole United States. No different than Ferguson is Richmond.
Okay.
I went
to,
and quickly I get off. I went to the conversation, Marty, of the slave trade and all of that stuff.
Yes.
And what I got out of that was this: the money that was supposed to be for the Heritage Museum is being diverted
million.
For restoration of Lumpkin Jail.
19 million.
There will
You're
be
right.
no museum.
Wow.
Well,
that's what I got out of that. I'll shut up and listen now.
Thank you, Earl. We appreciate it. We had to go to line one. Gary from L.A. How are you, friend?
Hey, you doing, Tony?
Good show
today.
Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, we had to take control of the situation. What I mean is, 3 weeks ago, mm-hmm. There was a commercial, a Nissan commercial for the Rogue.
Mm-hmm.
Nissan Rogue commercial. Right?
You said 3 weeks ago was a commercial? Uh-huh.
Yeah, Nissan Rogue car.
Uh-huh, a car.
2015.
Okay, mm-hmm.
And they used the song of Edward Starr called War.
Mm-hmm.
Remember 1968, the song called War by Edward Starr?
You said Edward Starr?
Edward Starr.
Uh-huh.
The 45 was called War.
Yes.
Okay, right. I remember because there's 2 cars in that commercial, right, and they used the song War. I got you. I remember that one.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this is Blake Wilford, Edward Starr.
Mm-hmm.
And this is Blake Wilford, all the people who went to war in Vietnam. I said, wait a minute. I wrote a 3-page letter to Nissan telling them to cut it out. You need to stop this nonsense.
Let me ask this question. You said you wrote a letter to Nissan?
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am, I did.
So did they stop running the commercial?
It's been 3 days and no need for a commercial. 3 days they had not broadcast the commercial.
Oh, well, good.
Yes, ma'am.
Well, good, you made a difference then.
If we take actions like this,
mm-hmm.
it never stops.
That's a good point, Gary. You're right.
He's saying is exactly what I'm saying.
Right.
Until the people get in it, it won't get fixed.
That is true. That is very true.
It won't get fixed.
So you wrote the letter to Nissan because you said the song War has nothing to do with what they're saying as far as the commercial is concerned with cars.
Yes.
Okay, so you wrote the letter to them, and they have not run the commercial since. Okay, that's taking action. I agree with you 100%.
Okay. But then I think that we need to stop waiting until we get fed up.
Right.
That's so true. We do.
See, well, we wait until we get fed up, until we get mad and angry.
Well, worse than that, we wait till too many people die. Yeah. That's
exactly.
People die. Gary, thank you so much for your comment. What you said is very true, showing that, okay, if we do something, it can make a difference.
Thank you for being on the show.
Thank you, Gary. Appreciate it. Right, Nick Hicks says, Nate Hicks says, how come no one is protesting in Chicago? That's a good point, because they had deaths over the past few days, and the number of deaths that have occurred there, not only there, Baltimore and other places here.
Nate's trying to be a smart aleck. We don't know whether they're protesting or not. We're not privy to everybody. Well, we just had a protest Sunday in Fairfax County. You haven't seen or heard anything about that. So we don't know what they're doing.
Well, let me
Chicago.
Say this. I think we need to follow Gary's example. When we have protests and that sort of thing, we need to get the media involved.
Well, they may, but we haven't heard anything about it, though.
But see, you know what?
They don't always come when you call them.
You know, I will say this. News will only give you something that they think is newsworthy.
That's right.
If they don't think it's newsworthy that there are people in you better believe there are some people protesting in Chicago all these other places. They're out there, but it's not newsworthy.
That's right.
See, you got to understand, the news media is about getting the attention that they need. You think that's going to bring some attention to their companies? They want something according to them that's newsworthy.
What's the saying, that if it bleeds, it leads on the front page?
Exactly. Huh? Somebody is protesting in Chicago. You can trust and believe that. If you dig deep enough, if I go on the internet right now and I punch in, you know, protest, you know, in Chicago about something, it'll give me something on the internet. It'll tell me that something has happened.
I take that comment as a slap in the face.
Exactly.
Because he's really trying to say black on black crime in Chicago's off the hook. Why aren't y'all talking about that?
Wait a minute before you throw them under the bus. But what about social media? In this day and time with social media, if there is something in Chicago, don't you think we would have heard about it on social media? I haven't seen anything about it.
What?
I don't know.
I have a friend that actually lives in Chicago. As a matter of fact, she called me this morning.
Mm-hmm.
I have a friend who lives in Chicago, and everything she could talk about, she didn't talk about that anything that's going on in Chicago.
And had it been a big deal, don't you think she would have possibly mentioned it?
She would have mentioned it.
The killing in Chicago of black folks against black folks is an abomination. And it ought to...
In Detroit, Philly.
It ought to grieve all of us.
It's happening.
Happening in too many places.
Well,
but it's happening
because
of what we're talking about right now.
People
are hopeless and they are desperate.
And we get excited for a minute and then we stop talking about it.
Exactly.
End of story. You know, the trials for the Freddie Gray's case is, you know, death is about to come up. And you have the first one that will occur in November. And of course, they're trying to keep things under control so they don't have any riots and that sort of thing. But what else have we heard with regards to trying to bring about a change since the incident happened?
The NAACP National Office is located in Baltimore. They have a branch there, but they opened a field office during that riot. They are still operating that office today. They're doing work on the ground. We're not hearing about it.
But don't you think we should?
Oh,
in some
kind
of way. So yes, it should be some kind of way.
Media will tell you what they want
you
to
know.
Give to you.
That's right.
If it bleeds, it leads. You're doing good in the neighborhood. They ain't going to tell nobody.
All right, I'm going to give you an example. Remember that mother that went out there during the riot and saw her son on TV and went out there during that riot
and whooped his
and gave him the whooping of his life? You know what? And they tried to prosecute her.
Right.
They tried to prosecute because she told her, and the whole time, if you would listen to that video, she was saying, you know better. You know I have taught you better. You don't need to be out here. And they tried to prosecute her for abuse, child abuse. And guess what?
she was unemployed, and right. she had several yes. kids.
Right, exactly.
And yeah, she yeah, ended up out of that. She ended up getting a job out
exactly.
of that.
Exactly, yeah. several offers and things.
Because but she, as a parent, did something about her son being out there in that ride. So
and that's
we can't
all we're
say,
saying.
And that's all we're saying.
We have to do something
exactly.
about our condition.
Exactly.
And we have to do it in group form because they don't care what individuals say.
Exactly.
But our organizations, our groups have diminished significantly over the last
right.
20 years.
And that's what I'm
and
talking
until
about.
We work as groups again, nothing's going to change,
right.
y'all.
And we're going to constantly talk. We're going to constantly be talking about the number of people that have been killed or die in jails or
right.
By law enforcement targeted. All of that, and
just
that's the unfortunate. That's the unfortunate part of this whole yeah. conversation.
Just 2 weeks
it
ago,
it saddens my heart because any one of us could be any mm-hmm. the Freddie Gray, mm-hmm. the Eric Garner, Sandra Bland, and that's what we should be so upset about. In fact, we should still be talking about ever since the very first. Trayvon Martin, and in record numbers.
But we are.
Will you let me speak? Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Just 2 weeks ago, the Richmond Crusade for Voters, who initiated a regional listening tour after the Ferguson DOJ report came out, we've had 12 listening sessions at churches around the region. Phase two of that operation just took place 2 weeks ago, where we met with the chief of police, the Commonwealth attorney, the city superintendent of schools, and the school board chairman. Michelle Mosley wasn't there, secretary of, president of the council, in which we laid before them the responses from citizens who came to those sessions.
Mm-hmm.
And we listed a list of recommendations. And we discussed collaboratively back and forth how we can get at fixing these problems that are listed in these recommendations. Well, we weren't going to fix them that day.
Right.
But what they did, we agreed, all of us, that we will continue the dialogue. And those that they don't, those recommendations they don't accept, we'll negotiate. Those that they ultimately reject may become demands. So people are doing something. Just tomorrow, we're going to meet with the Secretary of Education. All four NAACP branches, Richmond, Rikers, Chesterfield, Hanover, the Education Committee Chairman. We've got the NAACP Legal Defense Fund being represented at that table out of Washington. They are not a part of the NAACP. They sue you. That's what they do.
Okay.
We've got Dignity in Schools, which is a national group, and several others. And the Crusade for Voters president is going to be at that table where we're going to address this issue of cradle to prison pipeline.
Okay,
huh?
okay. Well, you got to go to Black Talk commentary for our friend Scotty Reed.
Here we are on earth together. God has made us fall in love, it's true. I really found someone like you. Will it stay? The love you feel for me, will it say that you will be by my side? I only pray that
heart today, because that's all that I am living for, you see. Don't worry what comes with me, 'cause in my mind you will stay.
Police shooting. Wilmington police in Delaware shot and killed 28-year-old Jeremy McDowell 7 days ago. Mr. McDowell was a paraplegic who lived in a nursing home. Police claim that Mr. McDowell was armed after receiving a 911 call that he tried to kill himself. When police arrived on the scene, an officer can be seen approaching Mr. McDowell from the side, armed with a shotgun-type weapon, and fires almost immediately on contact while yelling for Mr. McDowell to drop his weapon and raise his hand. Two more officers are then seen on the video, following the first officer to a position directly across from Mr. McDowell, forming a firing line. After a few more commands, the police start shooting at Mr. McDowell, obviously killing him as his ragdoll-like body falls out the wheelchair and onto the pavement. After watching the video several times, at no point did I see Mr. McDowell raise a weapon or point anything at the officers before being shot and killed. Mr. McDowell can be seen scooching up in his wheelchair, pulling up his pants, but never made a furtive movement towards the police. The victim's mother, Phyllis McDowell, 48 years old, said her son did not deserve to die and insists that he was unarmed. Obviously distraught after seeing her paraplegic son violently shot down in the street by police, Ms. McDowell has been arrested for assaulting a woman she believed made the 911 call reporting that Jeremy McDowell was armed and warning people to stay away. Police say the woman who was assaulted was not the 911 caller. Since September the 23rd, when Mr. McDowell was killed, police in the United States have killed 22 people, including several teens, in that 7-day time span. While all were not unarmed victims, many occurred under questionable circumstances. President Obama's 21st Century Policing Task Force issued its report and recommendations in May of 2015, and since that time, police in the United States have killed 412 people, including 28-year-old paraplegic Jeremy McDowell. This has been Scotty Reed with your Black Talk Radio weekly commentary. Find me and other independent black media producers at blacktalkradionetwork.com.
This is Tanya Free. If this Monday is time for Let's Get Busy with your host, King Salim Kalfani, 4 to 6 p.m. here on the heart and soul of the city, WCLM 1450 a.m. Kick off the week with KSK, Commonwealth Consultation, LLC, for two power-packed hours of news you can use, feature guests, cutting-edge commentary, and more. Let's get busy with King Salim Kalfani every Monday at 4.
WCLM 1450 AM, Highland Springs, Richmond. The soul of the city is WCLM 1450 AM.
Calling all dreadheads, are you tired of your locks being dry, limp, and weighed down? Do your locks have an odor or you have unbearable itchy scalp? Are your locks thinning or falling off? If so, you need to visit Dreadhead Studio, offering full service lock maintenance, starter locks, kid services, weekly specials, and more. Try their online booking for your next appointment. For more information, call 804-601-8216. That's 804-601-8216. Or visit dreadheadstudio.com. Located at 133 East Belt Boulevard, Suite M in South Richmond.
This is Tanya Free. The American Heart Association reminds us that regular exercise can lead to a healthier heart. Try to be more active during the day. Walking is a great start. Walking the malls before shopping and taking the stairs instead of the elevator are great tips for a healthier you. Remember to always get your healthcare professional's approval before starting any exercise routine. Tanya's Medical Minute is sponsored by the Capital Area Health Network, the heart of the community.
Tanya Free and friends at TanyaFree.com. On air, online, and on point.
Conversation. Phone lines are open right now. Give Tanya a call at 804-321-1010 in Central Virginia and 844-321-1010 toll free coast to coast. That's toll free 844-321-1010.
We are back, and I just want to make an announcement. I've got a lot of wonderful comments from my wonderful listeners, and the Second Street Festival this weekend, and we were scheduled to have a MBL tent, but that is not going to happen. And then also, too, the weather's supposed to be bad. So, sorry about that, the weather. The Second Street Festival this weekend. Yeah, that's this weekend. And they're calling for rain the whole weekend.
Yeah.
So that's not going to be good. So, sorry. Marie says to Wendell, like it or not, abortions are legal.
Yes, they are. And they've been legal since when? 72, 73? 73. Yeah, 73. But as one of the callers called in, the last 10 years, the abortion numbers has been on a steady decline.
We're not talking about numbers.
I'm just responding to the...
I didn't say anything. I was just looking at you.
I'm just feeling guilty about what?
We're not talking about numbers.
I'm just responding.
Okay. The fact is, it's legal, right?
Yeah, it's legal.
Okay, all right.
Nobody's arguing that it's not
good
legal.
That it's on decline.
Yeah, it's on the decline.
It's good that it's on the decline.
I don't think any of us are hooraying about someone having an abortion, but look, that's private business.
That's private, personal business.
Exactly.
It can't be personal business if the federal government is involved.
That's private business.
It's personal business, man.
Wendell, look.
As Marie
said, it's law. So a law is made how? Okay.
You seem to not want to deal with reality.
If you get pulled over by an officer.
I've been pulled over by many officers.
Okay. I don't think you said anything about abortion, did you? Okay,
no.
That's what I thought. All right, then. No. That's what we're talking about here today.
Oh, okay. But I was just responding to
you being pulled over by an officer and the fact that you may lose your life after you put your hands up and you surrender.
You going to engage him in a conversation about abortion?
I don't think so. Yeah, right. Or are you going to call the president? President Obama. You don't want to hear that?
No.
Okay.
No,
all right,
exactly.
Then.
And I've been pulled over quite a few times. And you didn't say anything about abortion, did you?
And
I've never had a problem with the police officer.
Like I said, did you talk about abortion?
All right,
never had a problem with an officer.
Okay, all right.
All right, boys.
Let's go to another topic.
That's why you still living.
I got pulled over just like anybody else.
That's why you still living. And you ain't in jail.
All right,
lose your life.
Let's talk about another issue here.
I'm glad I haven't been in jail. I'm glad I haven't been put in that position that something like that could possibly happen. I'm very happy about that.
Okay. Two Georgia parents were allegedly drugged and attacked by their 22 and 17-year-old son. The mother was badly beaten, and the father was hit in the head with a shotgun, stabbed and covered in blood when the police found him. The sons are charged with two counts of felony, aggregated assault, and first-degree arson, because they were planning to burn the house down as well. If convicted, they can face up to, like, 60 years. The parents in a recent interview said they forgive their sons and that their sons just had a bad moment. Take a listen to this.
What happened? Can you tell us what happened?
Well, we don't know what happened. I mean, it's just our kids had one bad moment. You know, it was one bad moment. And God will reveal in time to us and to the world, you know, get all the answers, the questions answered, you know, and things of that nature. But for now, you know, we just need to focus on healing.
But you can understand people, especially watching at home, who have children.
Absolutely.
The question is why? Why? That comes over again and again. Yvonne, were there any kind of signs, signals, anything? What was her behavior before this happened?
And that's the crazy part. Nothing. I mean, our children had prepared dinner for us the night before. You know, that's why when in the call, you know, I told you in the call that I found out during the whole process there had been Xanax put in our drinks. So we were drugged. We just didn't know what had happened. We didn't know, but we said we forgive our boys because that was totally out of character for them. They're not violent. They've never gotten in any type of trouble with
no
violence
behavioral issues or drug issues or anything.
Just common teenagers.
As a teenager, you know, they have issues with, you know, cleaning their room and, you know, having attitudes sometimes when you tell them to do something. Just like every family sure experiences, but nothing that will indicate anything like this.
It was shocking to some people when the police report indicated that one of your sons said since the age of 11 he had been thinking of something like this, which makes some people speculate what was going on in the home for a child to having these thoughts for so long.
Again, we don't know. We just don't know.
Have you had a chance to communicate at all with your sons, to talk with them at all?
Yes.
Yes.
And what have you said to them, and what have they said to you?
Well, we communicated to our sons that we love them unconditionally. We told them that we forgive them, you know. We told them to, you know, as always, anytime there's an issue or something like that, I've always taught my sons that there's going to be consequences, whether it's something you do good or whether it's something you do bad. They had one bad moment.
Wow. Dr. Robinson, I'll let you comment on that first.
The thing that I was dealing with is one of the sons that said that he had been planning it since he was age 11. And I have 5 kids and 7 grandchildren. Okay. And sometimes my children can be knuckleheads. And I've always taught them that there are consequences to your actions. Okay? But I think there are bigger consequences when you go up against your parents. Because I know what the Bible says. The Bible said, honor your mother and father that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. And when you dishonor your parents to the point to where you're trying to murder them, we don't know what was going on in that house or what was happening. And we can't imagine or we can't even act like we understand. But there was something going on there that will cause these young men to be the way they are. Or I'm going to throw a joke. Or they saw the life insurance policy.
That's what the mother said during a call. Yeah, you're right. That's what the mother said when she made the 911 call, and the dispatcher asked her why she thought that they may, you know, were doing what they did, and she said maybe they saw the insurance policy. But you're right. That could have been one of the reasons.
And see, sometimes there are certain things that would spark it. But the thing about it is, those young men didn't just need help just now. They needed help long before then because this didn't just happen. This was not just a happening. It was something. This is something that has been going on for a while that may have been ignored.
Okay.
That's my thought.
Okay, so you're saying it wasn't a bad moment.
No, because this is more than just a bad moment. You try to murder, you plot it, you drug your parents, you drug them with the intentions of murdering them and then setting the house on fire. This was a well-planned situation.
I don't think so.
Yeah. Well, let me go to the phones right quick. Sunshine, how are you, friend?
How you doing, Ms. Tom?
I'm doing well. Good to hear from you.
Yes.
What do you think happened with this situation?
I don't know what happened, but if I was them parents, I would not forgive them. I would not let them come near me. Something is deep-rooted wrong with them boys. Because the way they did it was brutal.
Yeah,
they drugged them and stabbed them. It's something wrong with some people. Got to understand, some people are just born evil, and ain't nothing you can do for them. That's all I have to say.
Okay, and you said you wouldn't forgive them at this point?
No.
I mean, let me ask this question. Do you think you could ever...
Blood or no blood? I can't.
Well, let me ask you, Sunshine. Do you think you could ever get to a point where you could forgive them?
I could forgive them, but stay away from it. Just stay back.
Okay. All right, I got that. But still, could you ever forgive them at some point in time? Maybe not right now.
I can forgive them at some point in time, okay. But you can't come near me.
Okay, I got you.
It's old.
I think I have to agree with you on that one.
May I?
Thank you, Sunshine. Go ahead, Marty.
We have no idea until it happens what precipitated these young people going into schools and shooting up children. Babies. We have no idea what precipitated the Browley boys who terrorized Richmond back in the 70s.
Right.
I've worked with their mother at Virginia Union. You're a sweeter woman you'll never find. And so you never know what goes on behind those closed doors. Now, it wasn't a well-planned attack because he hit the daddy over the head with a shotgun. If he wanted to kill him, he'd have shot him with the shotgun, not hit him over the head.
Wait a minute. Why was he walking around with a shotgun in his hand?
To kill him. It wasn't very well planned because he didn't kill him.
Maybe not well planned, but they had some plan.
They didn't kill him.
Okay, but they had some plan.
They may have been too stupid to do it.
They had some plan. And not a well planned. They had a plan, though.
When you hear about these parents storing away children in a dark closet in the basement for years.
I agree.
You have no idea what's going on behind those
doors. That's true.
That's why I said we have no idea what was going on in that house.
Right.
To reciprocate this situation. I take it back. To agitate the situation and circumstances that led up to what happened, because we always say what goes on behind closed doors is behind closed
that
doors.
That they didn't kill him tells me that they were reacting to a lot of pain sent their way over time, and that they wanted to get back. You don't have a shotgun in your hand and go through all these machinations and you don't use it.
And Mr. Jewel, if you notice in that interview, they questioned the parents about the kids, but they never questioned the parents about themselves.
The kid, yes.
They questioned the parents about...
The interviewer did ask them about what could have happened to cause it.
They diverted it, though.
The kids.
Yeah, interview the kids.
And find out what's going on.
Yeah.
Wendell, jump in here.
Yeah, that's a really, really sad situation and really sad story. You know, we hear about these stories, you know, every so often, you know, more than we care to hear about. Right. And, you know, it's the same old thing. We don't know what was going on in the house. You know, like the caller said, some kids are born bad, born sick, you know. So, you know, just to think about something like that and to be around, you know, as, you know, family members, I'm sure they, you know, just as sick as anybody else about, you know, how can one do this, you know, to their parents, or like Marty was saying, how parents can do these things to kids, you know, it's just mind boggling. But you know, that's the culture, you know, that it seems that we are always running into.
Okay. Well, Jim says those parents were abusive. My thing is this. I believe, Jim, you're onto something, that the parents were abusive from the standpoint that the mother changed her tune when she called the 911, and the dispatcher asked her the reason why they possibly did this. She talked about the insurance money. But when they had the interview the other day when Robert Roberts on ABC, it was like, oh, it's just a bad moment. So something, like you said, Dr. Robinson, was going on behind the scenes, and it just didn't start that day or right. that one bad moment. Right. Something, and they were just so real, you know, we forgive them and all that. Mm-mm. They were real hush-hush mm-hmm. during that interview.
And something triggered it. Something yeah, happened.
Right.
Because, you know, as I listened to the conversation, I kind of go back to what Mr. Jewell said. I don't now. I will change my tune. I don't think it was well planned. I think something triggered, even though they may have been thinking it. I think something happened in that house that day.
Right.
That
well, I think it was long term. They yeah. like the 11 year old, like yeah. one of them son said they had been planning it.
Edge.
Right, something they were dealing with that they're like, okay, as soon as we get an opportunity, we're gonna do something.
Right.
And it wasn't well planned, but I think it was triggered, and from a long, you know, period of time, they're like, okay, we got to get out of this situation. And
my daddy, God rest his soul, was an alcoholic, severe, and used to beat up my mama. Mama had five boys and she had two girls. But by the time those boys start, us boys start growing big enough to get into the shiggity, we broke that up. We broke him out the habit of putting his hands on my mama. And so I'm saying, over time, these things happen. They hit him over the head and stabbed him, but they didn't do much harm to her.
Right. They beat her up badly.
Did they?
Yeah.
Yeah, they beat her up.
Beat her up, but they didn't try to kill her. Oh, they'd have shot him with the shotgun, y'all.
That's the point, unless they didn't have the bullets. Let me go to the phone. Sunshine, you got another comment?
I'm already laughed the way he said it. But my whole thing is I was going to get upset because it looked like y'all was trying to blame the parents for the kids going off trying to kill them. But as I listen to y'all, I kind of understand. Because y'all said they've been trying to do this since he was 11.
Right.
So it's something that they did to those kids
mm-hmm.
that made them snap and do that.
Right.
Yes.
And, then
right.
They're not, and then they're not that angry and very forgiving. So there's something,
right.
there's something going
you
on.
That's a good point, Sunshine. You're right. You're right. That's a good point.
I love the way y'all broke it down because I understand it. Yeah. If somebody been planning since a child to do something to you, you have done something to them in the past.
You know
when people get older, they don't forget.
Sunshine, you know that there's some dog in
and
that
y'all
cat.
Nailed it on the head.
There's some dog in that cat, them. Ain't it, baby?
And you know what I learned? You know, and Sunshine, you might want to agree with me with this. A child's first instinct above all things is to love their parents.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
That's
no matter
a child's
what.
First thing.
No matter what.
And the thing about children is children will love you unconditionally.
No matter
sometimes,
what.
No matter what you do to them, how you treat them, and what kind of name you call them, and
uh-huh.
you can hit them upside the head and call them all kinds of names, they will still love you unconditionally.
That's
and
right,
they will do that.
But
when they get when
they older,
but as they get older
to
at the age of accountability and they start to look at things and start to see things a little differently and started thinking more of themselves, doing their own thinking and having their own mind, then their approach starts to change.
Mm-hmm.
Yup. And then if some of them don't have to depend on you, they get a little job, they understand more.
There you go.
But I believe something went down in that house. Cause they just too, and then they blast and forgiving like that. Something ain't right.
She ain't gonna leave that alone.
Yeah, you're right. That's better than an African American family. You're telling the truth, Sunshine. You are telling the truth. You are telling the truth.
You
telling the truth, Sunshine.
Mama's head be spinning around.
There you go. I told some.
It's going to come out.
Thank you, Sunshine. I appreciate it.
I told somebody the other day, I fear two people, God and my mama. And my mother is 72 years old, and I'm 52, and I still feel my mother. I tell people in a minute, I say, I feel God and my mother. You can say whatever you want to say. I said, my mother walked in the door and said, boy, my mother would tell me right now, boy, don't make me pop you upside your head. You know, yeah. She'll walk in my house. She had free reign in my, and she won't walk in my house. She come in my house. She has a key. And so they can say what they want, but you know, if it was my mother, they wouldn't even.
You didn't think about it. You're right. You wouldn't even think about it. And the thing is, when I was looking at the interview, the parents, it was just something about the parents. Cool. Yeah, that just didn't look right or sound right. So I agree. Sunshine had a very good
been cool.
I wouldn't even been in the interview because I could not have given an interview without being kicked off the
air. I can see you and Mr. Free.
There would have been no way on earth I could have given that interview and not gotten kicked off.
Would you and Mr. Free
been
cool?
They would have been able to air it. There'd been no way they'd been able to air it. Mm-mm, no. Right, exactly.
She didn't have any emotion about the situation.
She's right. Cool. Yeah.
Some parents would be emotional, be ready to cry.
Oh, no. Down. It wouldn't have been no crying. No. I can't even talk about it right now. It won't even my kids. It ain't even happened to me. Ain't no way.
No.
Don't
even get that naive thinking.
No. No. And like I said, when I watched the interview, it just something about it just didn't look right. And maybe they were doing an interview so they can get their version out. Before, you know, the kids started running up.
When they start talking about, I forgive them, that and after the previous comments earlier, you can be sure that they're concerned about what those kids are going to tell
their thoughts.
Exactly,
that's my point.
So there's some dog in this cat. We're just going to have to wait and see.
Yeah, I agree 100%.
Well, they always say there's two sides to every story.
Right.
You know, there's one side, the other side, and in the middle there's going to be the truth.
Yeah, and it's just so unfortunate what had to happen to them. And, you know, looking at the house and everything, look, they came from a very nice home. Oh, well, not really a home, considering what happened. So we'll just wait and see.
Nice house.
Yeah, it was a nice house.
Nice
house. Yeah,
you don't.
Not necessarily a nice
right,
home.
Exactly. Deceiving, very much so. But anyway, let's shift gears here. I know Wendell be, you know, maybe willing to talk about this conversation. I'm not sure. Your boy John Boehner.
Why is he going to be my boy?
Well, that's your party, isn't it? That's your party.
No, he's not a conservative Republican. He's a GOP establishment Republican. We keep trying to tell y'all it's two different things.
Oh. So when he stopped being a conservative, I mean, I really want to know when the end of that story happened.
Well, I know since I've been paying attention to John Boehner in the speakership, he hasn't done anything, you know, that I would equate to, you know, conservative values and conservative views and things like that.
So you all have you all have groups within your own party, conservative and then those that are not. Let me get this straight.
See, it's the conservative.
Break it down for us.
It's the conservative movement that's been winning the election since Obama, you know, got elected to the presidency. And
so, if you're a Republican, you're not conservative unless you're in the movement.
See, you're a GOP establishment. I'm answering the question.
Okay.
You're a GOP establishment, and then you have conservative Republicans. That's why you have the GOP establishment not liking the conservative Republican. Just like Congressman Steve King said, the crazy conservatives are taking over the party. They do the establishment GOP do not like conservatism. They do not like the conservative Republican. So it's two different entities. And the conservative Republicans since 2009 has been winning elections and has been, you know, pushing the leadership out of Washington. And the reason why I believe the biggest reason why John Boehner resigned, 2 years ago, they fought him, you know, tried to oust him, but they did, the conservatives in the House didn't have enough votes. Well, this time, the conservatives have enough votes in the House to vote.
No, they didn't.
I'm just telling what happened today.
They didn't shut the government down. I'm just saying it happened today.
They didn't have enough votes to vote him out.
I didn't say anything about shutting the government down. I'm saying
because that's what it's all about. That's why he stepped down.
I'm saying
to keep from the government shutting down.
I'm saying there are enough conservatives in the House now And there are some Democrats who some conservatives were able to say, you know, we agree, you know, even though because John Boehner is the Speaker of the House. So he's the leadership over Democrats and Republicans. So just because he's a Republican, that don't mean that, okay. You know.
I'm going to.
Do you know, I've listened to you talk for about 2.5 minutes, and you use the word conservative almost 10 times. Do you understand the definition of conservative?
Explain to our listeners what conservative is.
I'm asking you. You're the Republican.
I'm asking you to say what the definition is.
Let me ask you a question. It's conservatives actually the Tea Party group that are more
the tea
aggressive. Is that what the conservatives are when you use that term opposed to using Tea Party that is not as, you know.
Okay. Tea Party stands for Taxed Enough Already. They are American citizens.
So is that the conservative group you're talking about?
The Tea Party, you mentioned Tea Party. Tea Party is American citizens who formed the group, you know, went by the name of the Tea Party, Taxed Enough Already. And that was a movement, different branches of the Tea Party, different movements of the Tea Party, which espoused to the conservative Republican views. So that's why the Tea Party grassroots started as grassroots. Like Marty said, it started as a grassroots organization, and within 3 years, now they have a Tea Party caucus in Congress. They got Tea Party candidates. And all of those candidates are conservative Republicans.
No, they're not.
No, hold on. May I?
Go ahead.
Go ahead, Marty. Thank you.
The whole Republican Party is made up and created over the last 20 years to serve rich white people and diminish black people. So the Tea Party are the most conservative.
Right.
They want to do it quicker and more efficiently.
Exactly.
Right.
Serving white rich interests and black folk. Now, if you want to celebrate that, then we all going to have a prayer meeting over you, because nothing can you point to that is of value in government that these conservatives, whether they are conservative, Tea Party, establishment, or anything else, even the ones that you claim, like Boehner, to be too moderate because he compromises.
Right. Ted Cruz, Ted Cruz is a conservative.
Is just as bad as the rest because they don't stand up and tell the truth about what their real ambitions are.
Exactly.
I'm gonna help you with this concern.
No, I need him to tell me one thing, just one thing, of value that they bring to black interests. One.
Well, since the conservative Republicans was able to take over, there are now, in the last two elections, more people voting. It's because yes. If you look at the last election cycle, 2014 and 2012, there have been more people voting. And yes, there are 32 state legislatures that's run by conservative Republicans. And in those states, they do have more people.
Okay, you said more people. Are there more African-American people voting?
Now you're talking about color.
Why does it have to go back to color? Marty just said they're looking to advance whites and diminish blacks.
I don't care about color.
Let's go to his answer. He said
more people has...
The Tea Party and the conservatives have brought more people into the fray to vote. What a value does that have to black folk?
That's what I just asked.
Well, that's a personal thing.
No, I'm talking about black people, not personally.
Yeah.
I didn't ask what they brought to Marty. What do they bring to black interests of value? One thing.
Black interests of black value? What are you talking about?
What did more voters in the system contribute towards anything of value for black people in America?
Do you want to start back in the civil rights movement?
No,
okay. You're talking about now.
Yeah.
You talking about now.
You don't even want to go back to civil rights. Because I can talk to you about that.
Well,
he can't answer the question.
I'm trying to answer the question.
He didn't I'm trying to answer the question.
And that's okay.
I'm trying to answer the question, but you're not allowing me.
Go ahead.
You're not allowing me.
We allow you. Go ahead.
Okay.
You saying one thing. I named the vote. I said something about voting. More people is voting. So that means more black people, more white. You said one thing of value. I said voting. You disregarded.
If it's more black people, tell me the number from where it was to where it is now. If that's what they did. If there's more black people, tell me.
I don't have the numbers in front of me.
I'll tell you what. Okay, you
but it's irrelevant.
Why is it irrelevant? Okay, why is that irrelevant?
Right,
that's
then,
the most.
If that's the case, then that is one thing you can. But you can't say that.
But I got you.
Why can't I?
That's relevant, right? Voting is relevant, right? But why is the Republican Party doing everything they possibly can
to suppress the vote?
To suppress the vote.
That's why I'm asking you for numbers.
How are we trying to suppress the vote? When more people are voting, are registered to vote.
If that is not impacting us, then you can't say.
If it's not impacting you, then that's a personal problem because you're not taking advantage of your right to go to vote.
Wait a minute. If more are voting, and you didn't differentiate black or white.
I didn't.
Well, you didn't. So I gotta get clarity here. All right. So if you had 10 more voting or 100 more voting, voting for what to determine the value of what they exist to serve me and my interests?
Just like the unions. Just like the unions. Quite a few states now that's in the process of busting up the unions and
for what?
And the right to work states
for what?
And
for what?
Giving individual workers more power and more, over what it is that you do on your job with your money.
No. Let me tell you what the right to work state does. Virginia is a right to work state. You know what a right to work state says? Right to work law says, I can fire you for any reason, any given reason.
And I can pay you any amount.
And I don't have to worry about a union coming after me. That's why you have these big companies that's willing to be with the right to work state and be a part of that. That's what Scott Walker did when he
A lot of people don't like the unions. You know that? And a lot of people love the way that the unions are being broke up.
Everybody that I know that's a part of a union, that works in the union, love the union because, know what?
Right.
The union helps them.
I got friends in New York City.
That's understandable. Conservative, I understand that. Let's take a break and we'll be right back and let you spend that point.
You're listening to AMFM 247, music you love from the 40s, 50s, and 60s. Best talk radio all day and every day.
Doc, you gotta give it to me straight.
All right.
Because I'm dying here. I mean, take a look at this letter from the IRS.
Oh, my.
This is killing me, Doc. I tell you, it's killing me.
Cheer up, my friend. Huh? The tax doctor is here. My diagnosis tells me that you're going to be just fine.
Really?
The tax doctor will not rest until we find you the best possible tax settlement.
Really, Doc?
Guaranteed.
If the IRS claims you owe them $10,000 or more in business or personal back taxes, call a tax doctor right now. We could save you up to 75% if you qualify. Guaranteed or you pay nothing. Call right now for free details.
800-918-7169. 800-918-7169. 800-918-7169. That's 800-918-7169.
Pope Francis' address to Congress was influential in Speaker Bonner resigning, prompting many on Twitter, if the Pope would talk to all of white America, please. If the Pope said one word about racism and the myth of white supremacy, he'd have to resign.
It's the Real Brother Radio Show.
Hey, this is Chocolate Chip. Dreading the start of the new school year? A stressful time for parents of children with behavioral challenges. Call the Metropolitan Day School. Don't go through another year of failing grades, phone calls from the principal, and frequent suspensions. Call the Metropolitan Day School today. Licensed and accredited. 804-321-2595. Financial assistance available. Start the school year off right at the Metropolitan Day School, where eagles soar. Don't wait. Call Ms. Thomas today at 804-321-2595.
Conversation. Phone lines are open right now. Give Tanya a call at 804-321-1010 in Central Virginia and 844-321-1010 toll free coast to coast. That's toll free 844-321-1010.
You know what? I did this when we were doing a break, but I'm going to have to applaud my friend Wendell because
yeah,
you are conservative to the heart. You really have.
You
and
don't
I
know
tell
what
you,
I mean, but
you just, we have tried until we have knocked ourselves out, and Marty had to take a break outside.
I tell you,
you are conservative like no other. I mean,
I love Marty. Yeah. I like the conversation.
Now go ahead.
I think
unbelievable.
I think conservative ain't the real descriptive. We talking about a blind brother here.
Yeah,
blind, deaf, and blind.
Well, I give him whatever it is he believes, conservative, whatever. But like the question you raised, Marty, what have the conservatives done for
to benefit black people?
Black people. Obviously, I mean,
I'm still waiting for the answer.
I'm still waiting for the answer.
See, y'all waiting for us against them agenda. We don't have an us against them agenda.
Okay. Since you're not talking about us against them agenda, before we went to the break, we talked about unions. Now, you know a whole lot about the unions.
Yes.
And as to when the unions are no longer existing, how is a major impact on workers?
Yeah, what happens is...
Wait a minute. Let Reverend Robinson...
When you have companies that have unions, what a lot of people don't tell you is what you don't know is a lot of the employees that are part of unions are protected by the unions. They become mediators between them and the owner of the company.
Yeah, right. Yes.
Okay? So what happens is when there's something that goes down with an employee, when you're part of a union, the employer, if you did not break a law or any rules of the company, they have to go with the employee and the union and the company owner. And then they mediate. They become mediate.
Mm-hmm.
All right. You take away the union.
But who's taking away?
Hold on.
Wait a minute. Let me finish this point.
States take it away. Because guess what? When you make a law to abolish unions and companies, when you make a law, then you become a right-to-work state.
Right.
In a right-to-work state, an employer then can let you go for any reason. Whether it's legitimate or not. Now, a lot of these companies that got rid of the unions, you lose your pension, mm-hmm. you lose your 401k, and you have 401k, but they contribute a percentage to your 401k.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay. Once you lose your union, you stop getting that contribution. Okay, so then you have people who've been on a job for a certain amount of years, mm-hmm. and know what? And a lot of things that a lot of benefits that they got, they lose because in a right to work state, they can let you go. So that's why you see that once they get rid of these unions, all of a sudden these companies start laying people off, and they don't lay off Tanya, who just came in the company a year ago. They lay off folks
long term,
35 years, because you know what? They have nothing between them and the employee. So when you start talking about that, that's what happened, and that's what Scott Walker did, and that's why the problem they're having in Wisconsin now. So I'm telling you.
Okay. Check this out.
That's your boy, Scott Walker. He's no longer in the race anymore. Scott Walker was my choice.
For president when he was in the race. So now that he's no longer in the race, I no longer, you know, talk about Scott Walker as a presidential.
Really?
No, because he's not a presidential.
That's what Donald Trump said about Fiorina.
He's not a presidential candidate anymore.
Obama's.
So we have other candidates.
Obama's birth.
And I haven't endorsed.
You're not talking about that anymore.
I haven't endorsed anybody. I'm just looking at the field because Scott Walker was my choice. He decided to drop out.
He wasn't conservative.
He wasn't conservative enough.
I don't know why Scott Walker decided to drop out the race.
Okay. I don't know why.
Listen, y'all.
If you do know why, please share it.
For a minute, just for half a second.
But I just wanted to respond.
Just for a half a second.
Go ahead.
Well, let me read this comment. Billy agrees that Wendell is not a conservative. He is blind. You want to respond to that?
Thanks for the comment, Billy. I'm glad you're listening and you're gaining a lot of useful information. And this is what dialogue is all about.
The same 30 years that Republicans have been dismantling unions is the same 30 years that American average worker, average wage earner, has not had an increase in wages.
Thank you, sir.
30 years.
Thank you.
Because there's nobody pushing back on these employers, and you are expendable.
Exactly.
You're expendable.
Mm-hmm.
And so today, you, your grandkids, your kids, they face a world in which they may never attain a level of income that can allow them a decent life.
And that's why.
And that is not destructive. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
That's Republicanism.
That's Republican, and that's why
they benefit.
Exactly.
They benefit the rich.
Exactly.
And they're unapologetic about it. That's
right.
Not a secret.
Exactly.
And they're very cocky about it. And then let me go. Let me add to that.
I mean, you gonna let me respond to what you were saying? Because you're throwing a whole bunch of falsehoods out there.
You're
throwing a whole bunch of falsehoods out there.
Well, let me read Trudy's comment. Trudy says she loves Marty and not to let Wendell raise your blood pressure.
I love Marty.
The problem is, the reason why you see high unemployment now, because you have a lot of steady workers who have been working for company for so long.
Yes.
And the company now feel that they can do whatever they want to do to these people. And these people, I've had some people on job, they've been on the job for years, and they just said, I quit. They just leave the job because they say, you know what? I'd rather stay home than to be disrespected. And see, so what they do is they say, well, we're going to lay all these people off that's been here for so long, that's making all of this money.
Money, right, and benefits,
with
right.
Now, you're
contributing that to unions?
Hold on. With the young people come in.
Because this thing just started.
And will take less of pay. But the problem is these young people are not stupid, and they're saying, I'm not coming to work for you for $7 an hour. They said it. And so you get this unemployment. And guess then, you know what they do? Then they blame it on the president. Then they blame it on the president because
the president had nothing to do with social welfare. Social welfare has been here forever.
Okay. So you're not blaming President Obama about.
Social welfare been here forever. So you can't say anything about Obama about social welfare.
That's new. But I did. Let me answer the question you wouldn't answer the question.
We were talking about unions. You know what conservative means?
We were talking about unions. Okay, hold on. But you know what conservative means?
Yeah. Conservative principles, conservative values.
I didn't ask for conservative principle, conservative value. I said the definition of conservative.
Yeah. Go ahead. Enlighten our viewers.
I tell you what. No, I'm not going to lie. I tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to answer the question because you couldn't.
Yeah, I appreciate it. Because you don't know. Thank you.
And you know what? And before you use the word, conservative means traditional, not willing to change.
Keep things as they are.
Thank you.
Right.
Traditional, not willing to change. So if you... Hold on. So
that's why it's called conservative values.
No, no what?
Biblical conservative values. Biblical principles.
All right, so you're okay with no change ever happening. You okay with things being the way it are, the way it is?
You okay for your children?
Answer the question, Wendell.
We are full of change. That's why.
Conservative does not mean change, bro. So how do you just ask me a question?
Right. Am I comfortable with change or do I believe in no change?
He asked you.
Are you comfortable with the way things are now? That's the question he asked.
The way things are, nobody's comfortable
with substandard, subpar,
you know, conditions. Nobody is satisfied with that.
Oh, yes, they are.
Yes, they are.
Nobody's satisfied
with that.
Yes,
they are.
Otherwise, they wouldn't work so hard to keep us in the bottom of the
bucket. That's why they don't want to help.
Who's not helping me? And who's not helping you?
Your conservative party is not. That's what he's saying.
Your party, your conservative
Your
party.
People have job training programs. Is anybody out here?
What do you mean, your people? See. Our mindset is not wrapped around us against them, or black, or white, or green, or purple.
Oh, so you?
It's American. When we strive. We all strive together. We can't make policy for one group and not make. You know what I'm saying? That's crazy.
I'm done.
Yeah. I'm glad y'all done. I'm glad you're done because you can't make policy for one group.
That's why John Boehner had to step down. That's it. You have shown us why John Boehner was instrumental. Because they got people like you that he has to deal with.
John Boehner was instrumental in helping the Democrats add $5 trillion
to the deficit. No, sir. Let me tell you something.
He was instrumental. Mitch McConnell.
One man does not do that.
I didn't say he did it alone. Okay, I said he was instrumental in helping the Democrat Party add $5 trillion. I didn't say he added $5 trillion himself.
That ignorance is when you're doing wrong and you don't know you're doing wrong.
And that's why
and stupidity
and,
is.
And that's when why you must change.
And you know you're doing
and that's
wrong.
That's why you must change.
And you continue in it.
That's why you must change. And the conservative.
Well,
you just said.
You're not they don't want change. Conservatives don't want change.
Who said
that's the definition of being a conservative?
Being a conservative, conservative is traditional, not willing to change. Don't want to change. So you're a conservative. Are you conservative?
The conservative.
Are you answering my question? Are you
a conservative Republican?
Okay. Are you a conservative?
Right. Okay. We got to continue this another time. Yeah. And I tell you this.
What time is it?
Okay. As always, I thank God, my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, for allowing me to get through this, allowing us to get through this. Let me say this, the opportunity to speak and hopefully heard. Thanks to our listening friends. Blessings to each and every one of you. Of course, thanks to Marty, Dr. Robinson, Wendell, Antoinette, Coffee Black, Lynn, El Robert, Roosevelt, Marcus, and Mr. Free. I'm telling you, free. Until next time, remember to be free. Live life with purpose.
Joining us for this installment of Tanya Free and Friends Talk Radio. Don't forget, the conversation continues 24/7 at tanyafree.com. Keep up with the hottest topics of the day. Post your comments, opinions, and more. All at tanyafree.com. On air, online, and on point. Views and opinions expressed by the guests do not necessarily reflect the views of the host and or this station. Tanya Free and Friends Radio is a production of Freedom Marketing, Inc. All rights reserved. Be my